Hello and welcome to the Ship Shape Podcast, a series of podcasts where we meet amazing people and talk about their experiences, personal, technical, and all related to the maritime world. Come and dive in.
This week on the Ship Shape podcast, we are delighted to speak to Victoria and Rico from Naughty Styles, which has the accolade of being the most watched US-based yacht walkthrough YouTube channel in the world, garnering more than 4 million views per month. If you want to know how to get to this top spot on yachting YouTube, we've got the answer. So we pick their brains and find out what they've been up to recently and their top tips for getting ahead. So lovely to see you guys. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
My name is Georgia Tyndale, and I am joined by
Talha Bhatti. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Great to have you here. And
good to be here.
We are looking forward to hearing your stories and learning from your experiences. So where should we start? Right in the beginning or right at the end?
Probably in the middle somewhere might be good.
In the middle somewhere? Okay. So what are you thinking? Like, what is the background to all of this? Naughty Styles now has become this thing, this big thing, right? How did it start? Where'd you guys, was it the US?
Yeah, definitely. It started about 7 years ago as, almost 10 years now, right? We got into boating.
Yes.
Together. And as we were looking for buying our own boat and buying a boat we could live on, as we started exploring all that, just realized there wasn't a lot out there to be able to just really see different types of boats. And it was very limited and primarily was just broker type videos or like a super beautiful, almost music videos. And there was just nothing really sort of TV style show that you could really feel like you're exploring with somebody. So it started out about 7 years ago. I started a nautical blog called Naughty Styles on Instagram and obviously a website, a blog. And as we started to go to more boat shows and just starting to get more content, we started doing Facebook Lives. And those did really well. And we would just do like, super casual, obviously live walkthrough of the boats, and took off. It was doing really well. And I was at the time working in commercial industry for a long time, 10 years. And as COVID hit, Rico said, like, we did a couple of tours actually in Cannes. And Rico said, like, you should put,
like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, you should put those on YouTube. And, I was just like, I don't understand this whole YouTube animal. Like, it's just so like, it's not monetizing. I don't quite get it. Like, and he's like, well, these are really cool, like cool tours. You should just put them out. So I was like, I'm not an editor. I'll try. So I did my very best basic edit and from the YouTube live and I mean, from Facebook live and threw it up on YouTube. Channel just exploded. First video monetized it. Second video, just went crazy and COVID hit. And at that moment, the whole commercial industry in Hollywood shut down. Enrico basically said, well, I guess you're doing YouTube now.
Well, yeah.
<there's a sign. laughs> now it's not just, what about this or this? It was pretty easy because, the one thing was shut down. The whole production was shut down in Hollywood, and including the commercial, obviously. So that was a great opportunity. I was like, okay, maybe you just do full-time YouTube and see what happens.
So you're really taking an opportunity out of a bad situation there. You see the difficulties of COVID and think, well, might as well have a go.
Mm-hmm. And people were so interested in it because it really just took them. So the problem was it was a lack of content because obviously all I had at the moment is everything that we've shot during the last few shows, but none of it was really shot for YouTube. So looking back at those tours now, I'm like, I cringe because I'm like, this is just, it's not really the right format. But at the time, that's all we had. So I started repurposing the footage and re-editing and just learning, just learn myself how to edit. I just like taught myself and, just started doing it. And I guess it was such an escape for people at the time. I mean, in general, everybody on YouTube did so well because people wanted to escape. And this was something that people really couldn't do, you know, and it really took off. And yeah, here we are.
And then we were thinking, initially, okay, but we need boat shows. We need to film brand new boats because that's what people are interested in. And then, of course, with COVID, there were no boat shows. So we kind of, okay, what can we do? Like, how can we film boats for people? So we reached out to local brokerages and started filming pre-owned brokerage boats. And
it was like so well received. People were like, this is like, you know, this is so interesting. This is what I would be interested in. And, you know, for a lot of people, COVID was like, it's a sort of a life-changing experience, realizing life is too short and just wanted to, you know, when this is over, this is what I'm going to do. Or, you know, just like, what can I do now? And a lot of people have bought boats, you know, sold homes, moved, you know, all those different things. I think it was just a kind of a perfect storm for us. And, you know, we're very fortunate that it worked out, but it was also challenging trying to get the content for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where were you filming those from exactly?
Well, we live in Marina Del Rey, lived at the time in Los Angeles. So yeah, we were surrounded by boats, you know, 8,000 boats in the marina. So it's just a matter of finding interesting ones to show. So
and convincing brokers that it's a win-win situation for them.
Yeah.
I mean, now like it's a lot easier, but in the beginning it was like, what do you mean you want to film the boat? Like, how much do I need to pay? It was like nothing for free. You don't have to pay anything. We don't take any money.
Yeah, that's worth mentioning that we don't mention enough on the channel is that we actually don't accept any money, don't charge any money. We don't work for hire for any of our yacht tours. We obviously get approached all the time and we turn it down because we want to be able to keep our independence, keep our integrity and only show what we want to show on the channel. So we only do 4 or 5 videos a month max. So it's you know, there's other channels that do 12 to 14. Our concept, our concept is different. So that means
if you found a boat that you thought looked really cool, but then you went on it and actually you thought it was pretty dreadful, would you do a very honest tour? You know, would you give an honest review?
We would usually leave because we're not a review channel. We are a yacht walkthrough channel. You know, it's reviews is a, well, first of all, you know, we wouldn't be able to be on many vessels if we just went and did our straight up honest review of every boat. I don't think that's going to go well in this industry. Second of all, I think people are interested in seeing something if they're going to go look at it for themselves and they're going to see the, you know, the some small negatives. There's no point. We focus on the positives and usually we choose the boat that doesn't have many negatives. Because why? We only got 4 or 5 chances a month to show something interesting. So we just feel like there's no point of showing crappy boats. Why? Let's show stuff that's different, unique, you know?
We have shown boats which were, you know, 20, 30 years old and needed a little bit of TLC on the exterior or on the
interior. We do mention it.
And then we do mention it, but it's not that we're nitpicking. It's like, oh, this hinge is not right, and oh, there's a little bit of oil in the bilge. And I mean, that's something, if somebody's interested, they go through the due diligence anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. And so what I thought was really interesting was that you said it all started from like Facebook Live. So this totally wasn't part of the plan. You guys were just like, oh, let's just start broadcasting this. And people were like, yeah. And then it just snowballed into hundreds of thousands of views. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Millions in some cases.
Yeah.
Millions, right? And so how, I mean, because you guys, Naughty Styles itself, the YouTube channel you're saying is relatively new then, COVID.
Yeah, it's technically full-time officially it would be April. So yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And even in that 2.5 years, you guys have probably seen like the landscape change and just YouTube and the internet and everything, you know, change a little. How have you perceived that? Has it worked for you or like, you know, content producers like you?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely changed. I mean, there's a lot more creators, which I think there's a lot more creators in our space that are coming up. I think exciting. It's such a big space. We are always supportive. Like we don't have any competition that we feel like all the, I call them yachttubers that are, you know, in our space, a handful, we have a WhatsApp group going, you know, we all friendly with each other. We just had dinner all together in Cannes. So it just, you know, I feel like it's, there's no point. There's so much space for all of us. We all completely different from each other. We all have very different way of delivering content. And I mean, there's no really a couple that's doing this, at least successfully at the moment. And there are a lot of new people up and coming, and we meet them at boat shows. They come up, say hi, and, you know, ask us for tips. And I'm all for it. Like, I think the more the merrier. There's no reason why, you know, why not support each other.
Well, I mean, look at HGTV, right? I mean, they're a perfect example. They're, I don't know how many renovation shows, different shows they have, and how many home buying shows they have, and all work out for them. So
yeah,
I kind of feel like everybody's a little bit different and has a little secret sauce. And I think it works.
Mm. Is there a boat TV? Do we need boat TV? Is that what we're missing?
We need one.
Yes.
So in terms of your earlier background, are you both, do either of you have like a nautical background?
Well, yes and no. I mean,
how far back are we going?
How far back
are we going? Like, no, I didn't start sailing at 9 or, I mean.
Well, I spent a lot of time with my grandpa as a child on the boat, but just going on, you know, small boat, going fishing in Germany. So, yeah, so that was my boating background. And then a little bit of Hobie Cat sailing and little lasers, you know, once a year in the summer.
Well, that's a hard sailing. Nice.
That's fun. We got into boating together. And then
what did you guys start with?
Moving with our boat just sold.
We started, as Rico said when we met and started dating, he said, I kind of would like to live in a boat someday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's great. Show me what you're talking about. Because I love boats. I'm all into it. Like, I'll be interested.
Yeah.
And so he took me aboard of this one boat. Not going to mention a brand. It was a...
Never mind.
It was a 35-foot old sailboat. And we both walked in.
That's what he had in mind. No way.
Well, I don't think he had anything in mind. I think it's what we could afford at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we kind of both went on board to check it out, and then walked out, looked at each other, and we're like, I don't think this is it.
Oh, boy.
And I just said to him, like, I think we got to, like, experience different boats and see what we like. And it started with sailboats. And I said, like, I think you got to get in your ASA certification and just let's start chartering, because that's something we could figure out and do. And and so that's what we did. He went and he got it certified, ASA certified, and joined Sailing Club. And we started chartering different sailing boats, you know, splitting it with friends and cost, and just going out in different sailboats. Everything we could charter, everything we could afford to do.
Monohull, catamaran. Yep.
Yeah. And then
I think that's a really good point, actually, because I think when people think about getting into boating, it can feel quite inaccessible, obviously, from a financial side. But as you say, if you're chartering, if you split it with friends, if there's a group of you, it can actually be a good way in, can't it, if you don't have that immediate, you know, capital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And then it's fairly affordable, actually.
Yeah.
Because even on a monohull, let's say you're chartering a 36-foot sailboat monohull, you know, you share it with 6 other people or 8 other people, which is still okay on that size boat. It's actually pretty affordable.
Yeah, it's definitely very doable.
Yeah.
Started like that. And then, you know, we were thinking maybe to get like a small center console and maybe not live on it first. And little by little, as we were shopping, it just got bigger and bigger. Maybe we should get something we spend a weekend on, and maybe we should get something we can spend a week on, and maybe we should just live on it. So it just like progressed into, and we ended up with a 47-foot powerboat.
Okay.
But,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Which we just
sold 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I have a powerboat myself, 40-foot, and like it doesn't have the aft cabin and blah, 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 and everything, but yours probably did. Stateroom in the middle and this and that. And that's comfy, right? And did you do anything exciting with that? Where'd you go with it? Where'd you take it?
I mean, just around LA, Catalina.
Close by.
Yeah. We would charter on in the Caribbean stuff. So we did that as more of a trips, and then obviously crewed.
We did a lot of whale and dolphin watching.
Yeah, we did a lot of.
So no destination, just going out in the bay and just see what marine life was around. And that was always fun.
What kind of boat do you have?
Mine is a Lures. It's a
1989.
Yeah. But I like the hull, because the older boats, they have a thicker hull. And I got this down from Boston to Virginia, all on the outside. And mm-hmm. you know, she didn't care. She's like, yeah, woo. And like, yeah, a smaller boat or and a newer boat is the crazy bit as well. I don't think would have done the same. Yeah, I would have been freaking out. You know, it would have just been getting tossed around because I was, you know, 50 miles offshore. Yeah. So they take it well. But so cool. And so now, so you alluded to this boat is sold already?
It's sold.
Right?
Yeah, it's gone.
And we're waiting for our new boat.
Yeah, what's happening now? What's the new dream?
I mean, we did get a little intermediate boat for Miami.
Yeah, I mean, we're building, just assuming everybody knows, people don't know. Oh, what's the new thing?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Tell us the news. Actually. Tell us the big news. Tell us. You sold the little one.
You're saying that people which are listening to this right now are not watching and following us on YouTube?
Not yet.
If they're not, already, they will be.
Yeah. Little shameless plug. So what are we doing?
We commissioned and ordered a Bering 75 Explorer Yacht, just a steel aluminum build. I know. That's what we think too. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's a huge step
up. That's huge. Yeah, you're going to need a crew for that one. Love it.
We will have a crew.
Yeah. We're going to have two extra people. And we also want to do like a little bit of a charter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Bahamas, at least starting in the Bahamas.
Is going to be doing a north-south trek, like regular-like, or what? Is it going to be doing like a snowbird route sort of consistently, or is it going to stay in one place? Or
We don't know exactly yet. I know the first season we're going to be in Bahamas.
Yeah, we haven't exactly decided. We're still a bit out, so we'll see what the world is like. You know, it's great to have make plans right now, but you just don't know. You kind of have to be prepared for anything. Yeah. So I think once we get a little closer, the plan is to definitely have the first season in the Bahamas. That's where we'll start, and then we'll see where we go from there. I mean, it's an Explorer yacht, so who knows what we're going to do.
We have a long range.
Exciting.
Very cool. Yeah. So you've obviously just bought a boat, so that's pretty cool. So what are your top tips for people wanting to go to buy a boat? Did you go through a broker? Did you, how did that process work for you guys?
Well, this is a little different, I guess, for us. I mean, if we would speak of our first experience with our previous boat, I think would be maybe a little... I mean, this is different when you're getting into building a semi-custom Explorer yacht. So, of course, we've had a relationship with the shipyard that started without any thought that we ever going to buy something like this. We just went to visit and completely fell in love with, with
the product.
So, but I think we can speak to our first experience, which I think was very interesting. And it probably will resonate with a lot of people that are out there shopping because we were not taken serious. A lot of brokers didn't really give us time of the day. We didn't know what exactly we wanted because we were a little bit all over the place, which I think is completely normal.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, I do have a broker's license in Florida and in California, but I think if I talk crap, I think it's perfectly fine because I'm talking crap about the whole trade.
Myself.
But jokes aside, so like Victoria said in the beginning, when we gotten into it, there were certain brokers that's like, okay, just send me everything you find and then I'll do the call and, we'll take it from there. I'm kind of thinking this.
Send me what you want to look at and I'll schedule it.
So you're saying like, okay, you want me to do your job now to kind of like figure me out and see what maybe works for me. So we had quite some interesting, one broker to another until we found a broker, which was super helpful. And he didn't really care that we didn't exactly know what we want. He showed us a couple of different boats and also took us out on one.
Yeah, which was a huge thing. That really was. He was the first one to really take us serious.
Yeah.
And we bought a boat with him. And it was actually pretty quick. So I think it's just find the broker that understands you. A lot of people are, they need time to figure out what they want and find somebody who I think it is really important Yes, you can do it on your own. If it's your really first boat, it's probably best to do have somebody who has experience.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So find somebody who believes in you and understands you, just like a good real estate agent. It's the same, yeah. You know, same thing. Yeah. Have somebody on your side who gets it, and find somebody. A good tip for a broker is if somebody wants to have you as a client for a long time, not as your one-time deal client. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel that when you find the right broker.
So, especially after the purchase.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, even before, you'll know that they're not just pushing you into every single thing. They're asking what you want because they want to be able to sell you this one. Most of brokers know once you sell, they sell you this one, you will eventually sell that one sometimes pretty quickly and buy another one. So just, you will feel that. I think that's really important to find a good broker that's going to take care of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you were saying about not being taken seriously because you didn't know what you want. I would predict that the majority of people, when they think about buying a boat at the sort of lower end, they don't necessarily know what they want. You know, if they're just getting into it, surely you just need someone with a bit of patience and guidance who's going to help you figure out what you want. And then you get people in into the kind of, not gateway drug, but you know what I mean? Then they're in it, they've got their first boat, and they'll become more knowledgeable as they go through and probably upsize, which people often do, don't they? As you have.
Yeah, two-foot Titus is real, for sure.
I'm
more like a 10-foot Titus is a real disease.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that. And I think part of it is when you get your first boat, it helps you figure out what more you need, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I need a water maker and all this extra shade.
How you use it.
More storage and next one should have sails, or maybe you had a mono hull and you're like, I'm gonna go for a cat next, see that. And I think that's, we were reading stats somewhere, it's almost like, and I'm sort of making these up as well, but it's like if you stay in the industry for like 4 years, then you're like, you're basically staying for life, sort of. Okay. And almost like 40% of the people in that who end up staying for life like end up upgrading, right away. If not right away, they have like the 5-year mark or something. I think it goes back to the same thing, is that they figure out what they need, how much they can afford. Maybe sometimes they'll just sort of conserve their funds or whatever, maybe like save more for the next, boat or whatever, And I think what's really interesting about you guys though is that like the jump, so last one was 47, new one is 75.
That's a jump.
With that vessel, it's almost quadruple the boat, just because it's such a different thing, and gross tonnage and volume. It's
actually way more than quadruple. If you think about it, what was the gross tonnage on our Meridian? Oh my god,
28
174. So it's a huge jump in volume.
5-6 grand. Wow.
It's a big difference.
How custom have you gone with this? Like, do you guys know exactly what you want now? Are you like literally choosing the bathroom fittings? Like, what are we?
Oh doing? It's a semi-custom. Yeah. So interior is very custom. So it's there are certain things you can do. Obviously, you cannot change bulkheads, and you cannot not change in the hull shape. Our hull is hull number one of the 75 model. So we're actually working really closely with the shipyard on tweaking some things that are, it's probably the next, I'm assuming like the next one is going to be like, the 75 is going to be Naughty Styles version, whatever that is, because we're changing some stuff, which they're adapting.
Are you going to be branding
to the model? I don't know. Yeah. We were kind of joking about it with the shipyard, because they're like, people are just going to come over and say, we want the Naughty Styles version,
which is
possible because we're changing a few
commission
things
on that now.
Well, like we said, we're all about just keeping it real and independent. So the second channel, we didn't want to, for the first channel, to feel like this becomes a bearing channel, which of course is a huge journey for us. We're building a dream yacht. So it's really something we wanted to share. And we were looking for the shipyard when we were searching that we could really work with and partner with in a way that we could show it all. It was a big thing for us to have this relationship. It's really special, which I think we're super lucky that we found us.
Yeah. So tell us about your plans for this second channel. What will you be doing with the new yacht?
So the plan was to start the second channel so we can really dedicate it to this build and really get in detail and more of a tech talk and get more, as fun it is to to see the progress, but also people have so many questions about, you know, stuff that we don't have time to cover on Naughty Styles. It's always fantastic when people tell us, like, your channel, Naughty Styles, is so informative, because I think primer, like, reason, what we want with it is for it to be entertaining, is for a whole family to be, like, most of the people watch it as a TV show, they watch it on their TV, the whole family watches it, and that's really great. You know, kids and wives and husbands together.
We just met so many families at the Ken show, like, it's amazing.
So it that's really the goal, for it to be entertaining. So when people say, like, well, it's also super educational, sometimes we're like, really? it's awesome, you know, but we feel like, oh, it could be so much more educational, but also don't want to be boring.
Yeah, you don't want to get too technical.
So the second channel really gives us a chance to do both and to get a little more in depth of what, you know, what it is to really go and build a yacht, what it takes, which also will be able to, like, help people, educate them, even if they're not building a boat, what to look for, how to shop for the right thing, you know, how, like, where do you really draw the line of, you know, do you buy a dream boat or do you just buy a boat you can afford at the moment? And I think that channel is just kind of gives people a bigger glimpse into what we're going through, because it's a lot.
So that will be the channel. The new channel is called Naughty Guys.
Correct. N-A-U-T-I, guys, don't do the G-H. That's very different.
That's going to be a different kind of YouTube channel. So alongside, so Naughty Styles has kind of snowballed into lots of different things. So you also, I believe, have a clothing brand and merchandise. So how does all that kind of fit into the picture of the business?
It's actually funny because the merch was before we even started a YouTube channel. So I did have the Naughty line, and not shopnaughty.com is the store. So, which is right now actually is in a huge stage of expansion. So we're adding a whole bunch of different products and collaborating with a bunch of brands, and just it's really exploding into like a nautical store.
Yeah. So we have hard hats and things for the shipyard.
No, maybe we should.
Logo on it.
You should do it. You should do a line of stuff for go around the shipyard. Yeah. I love
that's the high hilarious
hard hats. You should do it. Naughty hard hats.
Hilarious. Totally. Yeah, but yeah. So it's expanding. Like, we just came out with a collab on the line of sunglasses, which are floating aviators. That. Yeah. So we're really excited about that.
No way.
Yeah, they're floating.
Yeah, they're kind of the first line of floating aviators on the market. That's a bigger scale. Yeah, so it's pretty neat. And we're working on a whole bunch of stuff right now, actually. So within the next 6 months, the store should be a lot bigger than what it is. It's been, let's just say, it's been neglected by the lack of time. So
you've been busy. You've been buying a big boat.
There.
No, we grew up
building a big boat.
That's your excuse for everything for the last few months. We've been buying a big boat.
We've been busy. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still running a company too.
Yeah, I mean, Rico has a whole marine company in California, which has been keeping him busy.
Tell us about that. What's that, Rico? Yeah.
Well, I own a dealership in Carson, which is a little bit outside of LA. We're a dealer for Yamaha outboards, for brick tenders, for Achilles tenders, e-proportion electric motors, which we actually became now the largest dealer in the world. We just found out. That was pretty exciting. Cool. And then on the big boat side, we doing yacht maintenance and yacht management for boats which are not full-time crewed. Yeah,
that's cool. So that probably keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to juggle everything else.
And I'm still playing music.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, I do believe that's not the only string in your bow, Rico. Yeah. Could you tell us about DJ Rico, please?
Yeah. So when I moved from Germany a while back to LA, I switched gears. I used to be a paramedic back in Germany. And when I moved to LA, I started driving a stretch limousine for about a year. And after that, I went into my passion, or made my passion kind of like my livelihood, and started producing music and playing in nightclubs and festivals then later on, and became a resident DJ for Insomniac, which is one of the largest promoters in the world, does like EDC Las Vegas, EDC Orlando, and all the other big festivals.
Wonderland, big festivals.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, so he kind of tried to retire and they didn't let him. So he's, I always say he's like semi-retired. So he still plays some big clubs.
Yeah, like
some,
a couple times a month or so.
Some good, you know, big festivals here and there. But yeah, it's kind of a well-paid hobby at this point.
Yeah. It's fun. Will you be having, some decks on the new boat?
Yes, we
for
will.
For sure. That's been definitely an interesting thing to incorporate, and
yeah,
sound system. We're gonna have a pretty ridiculous sound system on the
boat. You need it, which
you know, I didn't really get to say.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
I just had to, you know, that's like the happy husband type of just let him do his thing, but he has to have it.
Well, if you have any parties on board, I think the Ship Shape team will be very happy to come along and help try out the sound system at some point.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Fantastic. Yeah. How do you guys generate, rude question, how do you generate your revenue if you don't get money for the tours?
So YouTube, we make money with YouTube revenue. That's obviously the main source. Of course, we do some paid integrations, which are, you know, completely separate in the videos. So that's really YouTube, and every other avenues that we have. We also put together sailing, you know, yacht vacations. So we do charters. Mm-hmm. We organize charters a few times a year. So we've been doing that on our own for probably about 5 years. And we love it. We like doing it. So it's the next step with our boat is sort of like the next level that we're going to take that to. That's part of the reason why we're building that boat specifically.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Very exactly. Cool.
And then the barrel line, is it revenue generating?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course it's all, you know, there's Instagram and there's the merch and all this, it all ties together. But yeah, just on YouTube, where primarily the tours are. Yeah, that would be our main source of income. So thanks everybody who's watching the commercials. That really helps.
Yeah, I'm also trying to think about, just again, like we're trying to get new people into the space. And again, and you guys have uncovered this really cool niche and a bunch of cool niches, right? Like apparel, for example, as well. I think there's just like a handful of brands, four brands, you know, for nautical stuff. Yeah. You know? And same thing with like the, like we were saying, there's at home TV guide, but there's no boating thing, and you guys are the first sort of inroad into that as well. And so it's really interesting how you've got these different pieces, and I'm just trying to knit them together to show people, you know, that there are so many different ways out there. Just once you join the industry, you could do this, or you could do this, and is there anything that we're missing in that picture, just to show people that, hey, there's so many stones that can be unturned? Would you add anything to that? The clothes, the videos. Yeah,
well, if we find charters. One, we'll probably launch one before we will tell everybody what to do.
I'm asking about the stuff that you've done. That's what I'm saying. Is that out of your experiences?
Well, captaining, like, you know, it's always, you can get
captaining,
you know, get experience as a on a boat, and
yeah, I mean,
hours and days and see.
Crewing would be a great way to get into
Rico's
it. Absolutely,
got his outboard business and maintenance business. Right.
I mean, we both have captain's licenses.
Oh, very cool. You're both captain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes, we are.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I always say, like, you know, even if you're a couple getting into it and you're debating, you know, if one of you is going to go get a captain's license, debating the other person's going to do it, if you can, do it, because it makes it so much easier to communicate, to kind of speak the same language.
Yeah.
So as annoying as hard that test was, I think it was well worth it just to be able to be kind of on the same page, like, you know, not having the same silly questions that, you know, I used to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously,
and
you've got a lot of strings in your bow, both of you. Do you feel, this is probably just me speaking personally, but do you ever feel like there's too many things going
on? All the time.
I sometimes feel like I spread myself thin as a freelance writer by committing to, you know, 500 different projects. Do you ever wish you could streamline and just do like one thing?
I just wish I could grow my team faster. And I think that's really we enjoy like all the, you know, the avenues of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We like all of them. There's not enough time in a day. I'm sure that's how you feel. But we've been expanding our team, which is, you know, which has been very helpful. I just can't, like, I feel like I can't expand it fast enough. We literally just had this conversation over dinner yesterday. I'm like, I think I need another person. So I think that's the only thing. But yeah, it's a, it is a lot of different things, but they all kind of come together. Yep. Like, it's all like, it's, if we don't do this one, it's sort of missing. So I feel like we have to do all of them.
And where do you see the future of Yacht YouTube going? Where, how do you see it kind of growing? More creators, obviously, but do you see other particular trends you see coming up more?
I think, well, YouTube is, you know, is going to be the new TV. So
I agree.
I think that, like, we just launched our Roku channel on Roku. We, we're launching an Amazon Fire channel, I think, next week. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely going to be sort of an expansion of that space. No one, I feel like very few people really watch TV anymore. So I think on demand is really the future of this space.
I think so too.
And and you could see the trend that just in the last 2.5 years that we've been at. It's it's really the people that watch are from all sorts of ages and countries and walks of life. It's just, it's fascinating because every time we meet people, we're like, I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. We're, you know, like, it blows my mind who watches our channel sometimes.
I mean, what really blew me away is, like, actually before we've gotten into the YouTube, our own YouTube channel, I always looked at YouTube kind of like, oh, it's like, how do you do this? That's kind of the channel, right? You Google it. Oh my God, my iPhone is not working the way I want it. It's like, let's look quick on YouTube how to fix it. Until I realized now, like, since we are in the in that field, and I hear like who else is all watching, and then people telling me, oh, I don't have cable anymore. I don't have TV anymore. I actually only watch YouTube like TV. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even, I never really thought about this until now. I'm watching YouTube whenever I have time, whatever, on a plane or whatever in between, on STV instead of watching a movie or something. And that's, it's pretty cool. And another really cool thing, which I find, which is unique to YouTube, that anybody in the world, no matter where, can create content, which is, you're not going to find on TV. I think that is the coolest thing about YouTube for me, that I can follow someone's life or someone's content. If it's, if I, you know, I'm interested in it. And it never would be broadcast most likely on a TV channel. So I think that is a really cool thing.
Yeah. And I think the yachting industry has, I would say in the last year and a half, you could really feel that it's recognizing that this is, you know, like 5 years ago, we'd have a, you know, give a press pass. And I was probably like the only one with a press pass at the boat show in the field. But now it's like there's an influencer pass. There's all these things that didn't exist, I would say, till 3 years ago. So that's really exciting. I think that the yachting industry is recognizing that this is really working. We are being taken serious. We're, you know, just from 3 years to this year, it's, you could feel like, you know, the bigger companies, there's still companies that don't get it. Just kind of old school, old school tunnel vision.
What's this video thing? We don't need video marketing. We can just print pictures of nice boats.
I love when, when we approach them sometimes, you know, and they literally respond, go, no thanks. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's the best answer. Nice. I'm like, it's not really working for you, good for you. Yeah. You keep doing it. It's pretty funny. So sometimes it's still challenging, but overall the trend is this industry is changing.
Oh yeah, I mean,
for sure.
We hear from certain brokers, if big brokerages, without naming any names, but they're, you know, one of the top five brokerages in the world, where we or other YouTube channels are coming up in their board meetings. Or in their, you know,
their board members saying, what about these guys? It's amazing. I mean
that tells you something, that there is a little bit of a change and openness to
or just media. On board of a, you know, super yacht in Cannes, and a gentleman came up and said hi to me on the boat.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
And I was, you know, just, and he said like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm a fan of what your channel is. Like, oh, great. You know, thank you. And he's like, oh, I'm actually the naval architect behind this vessel and that vessel.
Oh, and
I'm
like, one, and that one.
I'm like, you watch our channel?
Seriously?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I love it. I'm like, that is crazy.
Aren't you way too overqualified to watch our YouTube channel?
It's crazy, but it's awesome because I think it's, you know, we getting the entertainment factor of it is really fun.
Because even if
you are in that industry, you don't, even if you have accessibility, you don't always have time to go and look at all these boats, but you can sit in the comfort of your own home and just check out where were the, you know, what were the boats out there, even if you are in the industry. Just such a cool glimpse in, you know, into what this world is.
I think it's good because you're kind of bridging that sort of gap, because you've got, obviously you've got people in the industry who live and breathe it and are maybe more interested in the sort of technical side of it as well. But then you've also got people who just want to look around cool boats, you know, less kind of invested and involved. And, you know, it's just a big spectrum of people interested. And I think you can kind of help dispel the myth that yachts is all glitz and glamour, can't you? Because you guys are quite hands-on with your maintenance and things, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Only if we have to.
But maybe with the new boat, you'll have the crew to do that for you or not?
No.
Oh, I'm still going to be hands-on.
He has to. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well,
that you really
company. Yeah.
I know. Right? You. I think it's important to know what, you know, what is.
Well, yeah, I also want to be in the know, and I just want to be 100% sure. Okay, I know exactly what's going on with the boat when we're running, especially with charters.
Well, we are two people crew. Mm. That's 2 hour. Four crew. We are the crew. So it's four total, two of us and two more. So no, for sure. We're going to stay super hands on. That's really, really important.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of, just before we wrap it up, there's been a lot of coverage of super yachts, obviously recently in the news. So, but you've just been at Cannes Yacht Show and, you know, you've seen kind of the state of the industry. What would you say, how is yachting at the moment? Obviously there's the complications around the war in Ukraine and everything. In general, how do you see the state of the industry at the moment?
It didn't look like it's as heavily affected as some people like it to perceive, let's put it that way. I think there's a lot of misconception behind what's happening. It was pretty apparent in Cannes during the show to there were not many Russians not being able to get visas, because normally you do see, you know, in the midst, like all the Europeans, but you also see a lot of Russian clients looking at boats and shopping.
It's a fair proportion of the industry. I can't remember the percentage, but I remember seeing it's 20 or 30 or something. It's a high.
Yeah. Point. So you did feel it. You felt at this show. It was definitely missing. And, you know, there's common misconception out there, you know, like we keep hearing like, oh, there are all these boats, they're hiding in Turkey and they're hiding here. And, you know, the truth is if the boat is getting used in the Med and a Russian person who is not being sanctioned at all, their name is not on the list, they just can't get a visa. That's the current situation. Yeah. You know, like my family has a hard time to get visas because that just by being Russian, that's it. There's nothing else. And that's part of the reason why they're moving their boats to where they can fly into and use them. It doesn't mean that they're hiding, but you definitely feel that that's happening. Really hope that that just ends and gets resolved. And for the sakes of, you know, normal people that are not really making a difference in what's happening, it's terrible. And but overall, this, you could tell that this industry is on fire. It is so busy. It's an like all-time high in how many years?
The last thing we're doing, COVID, obviously, the whole yachting industry is.
And everyone's kind of expecting this dip, but it hasn't dipped yet.
Well, to your question, really. To answer your question, I agree with you because, you know, everybody's saying like, oh, we're heading for a recession. We are in a recession. It's going to get even worse. So far, I don't know, knock on wood. I don't see it yet. Like prices have not really adjusted the way everybody was forecasting it already 6 months ago. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't know. Like the ordering books are full. So if you want a brand new boat, no matter what it is, if it's a 40-foot catamaran, if it's a super mega yacht, I mean, the books are full.
Yeah, to where to you 2 years out, kind of like no matter what you order.
There's a challenge of COVID related aftermath where we have shortages in supply in the supply chain.
Absolutely.
Which still, again, you know, keeps the ordering books filled up for a longer period of time, and then also keeps the values of the used vessels up. So quite honestly, I don't really see much of a change in the near future, to be honest.
Yeah. That chimes with what I've heard from other people, but it's just good to get your perspective. So what would be your top tips for other people wanting to enter the not entirely glitzy glamoury world of yachting YouTube?
Yachting YouTube.
Is it just like hard work, new content? Like, it's got to be
just do it. No.
Just do it.
No, do it.
Be consistent. I think that's the biggest thing. If you're not consistent, it's not going to work.
Well, find your niche. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've met a guy who is doing it just in French for a French market, which I think I think it's great. Simon? And I think that, I think it's, you know, there's...
That's his name, right?
I'm not sure. Is that his name?
No, I just spoke French. I just said, c'est bon.
Oh, God.
My GCSE French is coming in useful.
That's how much French we speak, unfortunately. But there are, find your niche, find something that makes you unique, that people would want to watch. And I think the reason that our channel is working is because we didn't come into it like, oh, what doesn't exist? Let's make something that doesn't exist. We were looking for something we wanted to watch, and we created what we wanted to see. And I think that's really the trick here. Like, create what you think is missing, which you would watch, sit and watch there, not what you think is going to get views. And I think that's the, you know, as you see, like, other sort of a copycat channels coming up and doing it, it's not working, because that's not really, they're just doing it, trying to get views. So just be authentic, be who you are, and get into it for the right reason. And be consistent. That's really, that's the biggest thing. Like, decide how often you can deliver content, and stick to it, you know? So, like, we have not missed a video since April of 2022. We've done, you know, video every Saturday consistently. Mm-hmm. There is a trend to take time off YouTube right now. Like, there's a lot of big YouTubers doing it. We've never missed one.
Since 2020, you mean?
It's 2020. What did I say? 2020.
Oh, sorry.
April 2020. Yeah,
2020. April 2022 would be less impressive.
Yeah, that's not
good. Which Saturday did we miss?
We have not missed one, but there's a trend to do it. But I think if you have a successful channel, you can totally take a week, you know, take a week off, or, you know, that's okay. Yeah. But if you're trying to do it, don't do it. Really stick to it. If that means that you're only posting, you know, twice a month, but let it be consistent.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then, have you guys uncovered the viral formula yet? I know a couple of your videos have gone viral. Like, what did it?
We thought we did, but then some others which were very similar in terms of choice of boat did not. So I don't know.
We have a really, you know, we have a really successful series on the channel, which is affordable liveaboard yachts. And I think that one does really well for us. And that's in general is yachts under 500,000 that you could live on. That's based on our kind of a market value in US, which wouldn't buy you a house on the water, which in this market should be raised to about 800,000, I think. So I think that that gap's going to go
inflation.
Up a little bit.
Inflation.
Yeah, I think 800 is probably more realistic. And that, you know, that does really well. I don't know. I feel like we've on Instagram, our reels go viral quite often. I think we've got that one figured out. But with YouTube, I read this advice somewhere a while back, which really resonated with me, which I think is tremendous if you really could realize it.
Exactly.
Is just don't try to make every video successful. Just make videos you're happy with. And it's really, the YouTube is all about that. And it's really true. Like you never go like this. No other channel does this. You know, it's always a kind of a step thing. And it's been so true for our channel.
True.
And so sometimes it's like he takes it more close to heart. You know, he's just like, why is this video not doing that well? And I'm like, it's okay. You know, it's like, it's just, there's so many factors that go into a video being successful. And sometimes you hit everything right. Your view duration is right. Your click through is great. but it's just not, it's not doing it, you know, it's not going that well.
And don't, so and don't, I maybe don't kill it. Yourself, maybe don't kill yourself obsessing over the details of why this, why that. Just keep
just go up to the next one. Yeah.
Just put the next one out. And that was the advice. Like, just put one out, do your very best. If you need to do a little, you know, if you need to optimize it, to, you think you could do better, do it. But don't like go crazy obsessing about it. It's just, there's so much more that goes into that. So I think that's the biggest thing. You can't take it close to heart or you'll get burned out really, really fast.
Awesome.
And what about like the interaction with the fans? Like, do you guys like literally some YouTubers will say they reply to all the comments or something. Do you guys like read all of them? Do you need a separate team member to like answer them? Like, how do you guys approach that?
I would love to have a separate team member, but I think that will create a big disconnect. I would say I read 90% of the comments. I respond to as many as I can, which is a lot of comments. There, you know, many YouTubers I've met, they're like, just reply to the first, you know, I reply to the first half an hour and then forget it. I don't do that. I really believe that is really important to connect with your viewers, to know what they want. So as much as I would love to hand it over to someone, I think that would hurt us, because I know what, like, he could attest to that. But like, usually when I say like, I know this is what they want to see, that does well. Like, I will push for a video sometimes for like a month. Yeah, because I'm like, we need to do this video. He's like, yeah, I know. It was this thing with our boat, tour of our boat, for like 2 months.
They,
I was like,
see
we need
they
to do a tour of our boat.
Yeah.
He's like, why would we do a tour of our boat? I'm like, we need to do a tour of our boat. People want to see it.
It's still the most watched video, right? Yeah.
So far, it's still the most watched video. So, but
no
it's because
way.
I know what people want to see, because I read their comments.
Because it's like, who's interested in watching a video for a 2004 Meridian? Like, nobody wants to see that. And well, I was majorly wrong.
But now it's reading the comments.
Yeah, but they're in love with you. They're your fans, so they totally want to know what your boat is, right?
I would want to see somebody, if somebody has a channel, show us your boat. Like, what's your life is like? Yeah. You know, like, just show by example. So no, I think comments are a huge portion of a success of the channel. I'm dreadful of the time that I can't read all of them, because I know it's coming. Like, I'm sad. So I think even if eventually, we have somebody on board that will help with it, I will still want to see the interesting comments, the ones that are suggestions and feedback. And, you know, it still would want to, like, oh, for sure, because it's important. I mean, it, you know, not like comments like, awesome video.
You can do that.
That's okay. You know, somebody else can reply. But if it's some great feedback, still. And then, of course, we have this, you know, crappy comments, like total trolls and bad comments. And
that still happens, really?
I read all of them and I post them all on Instagram and our Insta stories. I blast them out and I respond to them. I do. I totally do. And I really enjoy when people backpedal. That's really fun.
Well, they're probably not expecting, you guys have quite a lot of views and followers, so they're probably not expecting you to actually reply. So I'm sure it's a bit unnerving for people when you do. They feel they can
totally
be anonymous, can't
they? They totally backpedal. Yeah, they go, no, I didn't mean that. I love your channel. I was like, wow, really?
Wow.
So it's really funny. But I post them on Insta stories all the time, and like the worst ones that, you know, people go, I can't believe you're posting it. But I just think it's, you know what, all you can do is laugh. And I love people's response on Instagram, our subscribers that will reply to it and how upset it makes
the loyal
them. They have the best replies, just the greatest ones.
It's like virtual bodyguards.
I love it.
Oh,
I absolutely
love
it. Awesome. Okay. So where will people be able to find you if they wanted to?
So definitely check us out on YouTube. It's Naughty Styles, N-A-U-T-I Styles with an S, and Naughty Guys, N-A-U-T-I Guys.
Yeah.
And also definitely check us out on Instagram, all same handles. We have a Patreon. as well, which we focus on liveaboard content. So if you're interested in living on a boat, buying a liveaboard, or getting a deeper glimpse into what we're doing with our new build, that would be Patreon would be the place to join. And we, the reason for a Patreon is not like support us so we can live on. It's really to give people more content. And so everybody from the lowest tier gets a Patreon only t-shirt. And, you know, we do a whole bunch of extra stuff that we do. So I feel like the reason we started is to create a community, not to make money. And it's been amazing. Like we have a super cool Patreon community, of people that we just really enjoy connecting with. And we also take them on a yacht tour sometimes.
And to ask us questions.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the easiest way to reach out to us, you know, but we do monitor our website. So of course you can reach out to us via email and we're really good on that. But yeah, anything else we have? Well, Facebook too. We're kind of trying to be more on Facebook.
Yeah.
And of course, DJ Rico's gigs.
Yes. That's on my Instagram. Yeah.
Do you advertise that somewhere? Really? Yeah.
Yeah. If I play somewhere, I post a flyer and stuff. Yeah. It would be Rico _ rocks.
ROX
_ stall. Yeah.
STOLL. But if you go on Nadi Styles, you can click and see him pretty much everywhere.
Probably tagged into her posts. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely check us out.
Good stuff. Very exciting, guys. It was great getting all these different insights, so many different sort of industries within the marine industry, so many niches, right?
I know.
And I hope our listeners also got some, some knowledge, some, cool ideas. Maybe again, like hopefully we're hoping to get some brain, gears working and be like, I should get into the boating world one way or the other. But again, thank you so much. We're excited about where you guys are going with this. Excited about the future. Good luck with your Explorer boat. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck circumnavigating. Right. And definitely keep us posted. We'd love to have you back on at some point. And
thanks for having us, you guys. This was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see you on board the Bering 75 then, won't we? Brandon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Come party with us. Wow. We need a name, by the way. Yeah. There's going to be a big contest for the name. So
We need to find a good name.
Yes, please. If you have some good names, send it our way. And we haven't decided yet, but we might give away like a tour of a boat or a ride in a boat or something if somebody comes up with the names for us. So that's out there. Yeah. Come up with a good name for us.
That's cool. We better get thinking. I'm supposedly a professional writer, so
yes, there's a challenge for you.
Just one last quick thing with the name. Like we're always looking at all these different, and they're the funniest boat names all over the world out there, right?
Yeah.
And we always think like, okay, how would that sound if you're taking on water and you're in a distress situation? It's like as good as it gets. Well, maybe not so much anymore.
Maybe this is as good as it gets. Yeah. Not a good thing.
So keep in mind when you name your boat, like, what does it sound like when you call
it? Mayday, calling from staying afloat. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Or staying, what is it, staying alive? Still alive.
Yes.
Just so at the show called Still Alive. And I was like, that would be funny if you called Mayday. Maybe still alive.
I haven't thought of it that way. That's a good twist. Yeah. Hopefully you'll never be in those situations. But yeah. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Ciao.
Yeah, you too.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode and be sure to like, share and subscribe to ShipShape.pro.